Brother Dean asked that we read from John 9, 1 to 25. This can go a number of ways. It's the man born blind. This can go a number of ways. I read over it very quickly. One thing about this, you hear a lot about the scripture being questioned. You know, the Bible is not true. The Bible is a pack of lies. The Bible is just like a bunch of other books. And I've read some of those other books, or English translations of those books, and they're weird. If you read other scripture, other holy writings, holy according to the proponents of that religion, they're weird. You get a weird sense when you read them. You know, it's a spiritual battle. You can tell it. And the Bible is different, and an example of that difference is in this section. The Bible, when you read it, you can tell somebody's writing what they saw. It's not some self-proclaiming thing. It's that somebody was alive and observed something and said, this is what I saw, this has happened. And if you look at the language and how it's used here, and the interaction, you can see that people would say this stuff today. Now, a miracle happened. You know, a miracle happened, and they're unusual. They don't happen a lot. Yet, if a miracle happened today and there was some politics involved, you could see the conversation kind of going like this. And that's one of the powers of Scripture. It's really how people would do it today. John 9, 1 to 25. And one thing about it, it stops at 25, and being me, of course, I skipped a little further on. There's some interesting stuff beyond there. But 25, as a verse, packs a punch. Whenever anybody says, oh, the Bible isn't true, one thing that they cannot object to is a testimony. You know, well, Jesus did this for me. There's no answer to that, except, oh. There's some very, some different ways of power in this scripture. Verse 1, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me, while it is day. The night cometh, when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said, thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him that was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay, and anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. They brought him to the Pharisees, him that was aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, He put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was division among them. They said unto the man, blind man again, What sayest thou of him, that hath opened thine eyes? He said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him, that he had been blind and received his sight, until they had called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. but by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind, and said unto him, give God the praise, we know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. The scripture reminds, let's kneel for prayer.
Well, we're indeed grateful and thankful unto you for your presence. We just trust the Lord will bless you. But can thank you for being here, we know the Lord will bless. Brother George Churchfield asked me 2 weeks ago after the revival was over if I would help him out because he was going to go up with Randy to go up to Maine. And I said I would. And to me, it's quite a privilege to be here this evening. Our chorister, you led a lot of songs tonight that was very fitting. And I'm sure the Lord has led you for those numbers. What a blessing you were. And bleed. The topic of the lesson this evening I want to speak on for a little is dealing to the thought, tell me the story of Jesus. Each one of us likes to have stories. We like to tell them stories. We've heard Grandpa and Grandma tell us stories. Mother and Dad tell us stories about life, things they went through, troubles and happiness and good times in life. They tell us it. And many times those stories are so vital and important to us because we recognize and know and understand that it is not only we too going through many times the same things. But one thing we do learn from the stories that we have heard from Grandpa or Grandma or Mother or Dad, brother or sister in the church or whoever it might have been, and that is that we're not alone. The devil has not left us alone. He never left them alone. And so therefore, we can understand that through Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer, he truly has been able to be an example unto each one of us. The song goes, tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweeter than ever were heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they walk in his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace, good tidings on earth. Fasting alone in the desert, tell of the days that were past. How for our sins he was tempted, yet was triumphant at last. Tell the years of his labor. Tell the sorrows he bore. He was despised and afflicted, homeless, rejected, and poor. Tell the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell the grave where they laid him. Tell how he lived again. Love in that story so tender, clearer than ever I see. Stay, let me weep while you whisper, love paid the ransom for me. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on the heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. If I was to ask each one of you to take a few seconds, just give me a little story of what Jesus means to you, I'm surely convinced we all would have a story. And whenever you tell the story, tell me the story of Jesus. Write it on my heart, every word. That simply tells me be very serious. I want to hear this distinctively, what the story is. I want to understand what the issue may have been. write it on my heart, every word. When I think of that, I think of the scriptures as given unto us this evening as our brother has read for us in the opening scripture. Here's one to whom that whereby that is born blind. The disciples could not understand who sinned, he or his parents, who did sin. And Jesus simply tells them that it's not who did sin in that nature, but it was for the glory of God. The works of God should be made manifest in verse 3. And I believe as we would tell the story of what Jesus has done for us, we indeed truly would honestly say it was for the manifesting of the work of the Almighty God, our Savior, in your and my life. That's why we would tell the story of our time when the Spirit spoke to us and we accepted Christ as our Savior. When we was baptized, perhaps when our first love feast occasion that we did, whatever nature it might be, oh, how valuable those words would mean to one who is listening so clearly, write every word in my heart. And I think of this, how important it is that God's word is unto us, that he wants to tell us the story of the love of Jesus, to whereby that in which he is given unto us through his Holy Spirit, that he wants to write it every word in our heart so that we too could be truthful, faithful unto him. So this young man to whom that whereby that Jesus encounters are with, and the disciples are there, and they in question about this circumstance whereby that he is in. And Jesus says unto the young man to put a clay and told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And he went and washed and became seeing. The words right on my heart. I believe when this man said to Jesus said to this man, go wash, and he was obedient. Those words literally, emotionally, physically was written in his heart because he was obedient to this man. So therefore he went and washed and became seen. And they, when they seen that he was seen, and the people, his neighbors and those about him could see that he was about. And they questioned the parents, is this he? Is this your son? Is he the one that was born blind? Is this the one we saw begging at the gates or wherever it might be, he would be begging? Is this he? And he said, I am he. I am he. And so therefore, as he goes through and he tells us unto them the issue of the situation, and his parents again, hearing their son reply, this man who's called Jesus made clay and told me to go wash, and I became seeing. And the parents understood those words, that if they confessed and recognized that Jesus was the miracle one, the Son of God, that he was the one to whom that set him free, it would be trouble for them as well as perhaps their own son as well. What would happen to them? Because they would be casted out of the synagogue and not accepted anymore. That brings me to the thought for a moment here. Back in about 1960, in that vicinity of a time, I stood as a Christian at the Western Mills Free Brethren Church. The evangelist who was there was Paul Sturp, was his name, a converted Jew. A dear brother, could really speak the word, love the Lord, serve the Lord, so long as I've known the man to live, and I'm sure he's dead by now. But Brother Frank, at one time, as a Jew, I believe he lived with his uncle and aunt. And when he came home one day from being at a service somewhere and he accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior, and he was bubbling over with inside, within his heart, to tell his experience, what he had just received, salvation through Christ the Lord. When he told his uncle and aunt, the factor that he had became a Christian, they could not understand, and with hatred, defiance, rejection unto him, refused to accept him any longer in the family. As I remember him telling the story, they lived in one or two floors upstairs in the house where they lived. They took him to the stairway and pushed and shoved him and knocked him down the steps and said, "No, don't you ever come back again." Utterly, he walked out. Whether he tumbled and fell, at that part I don't recall. But when he walked out of that house, he lived in the city park, on the park benches, seeking food, rest, weariness, or whatever it might be. All because Jesus was in his heart. And he testified of Jesus being in him. But that didn't stop him. He went on rejoicing to the fact that as he grew older, became a minister. What a wonderful, blessed one, whereby that I can really say I'm thankful for that Jew. But as I would say, writing in the heart every word, we could look past Brother Frank Stirp and say, thank you. We have a Jew that's better than he yet. That's Jesus Christ, our Lord. Frank didn't die for me. He didn't die for you. But he lived for those as he had lived. And therefore, as we find that Jesus Christ was the one to whom, as the songwriter says, tell me the story and write every word, write on my heart every word. How precious it is not when we see or read or study or hear a brother or sister talking about our Lord and our Savior. Doesn't seem to be writing joy and happiness in the hearts of each one of us. And therefore, as we see as he goes forth serving him. But as this man goes on and he's questioned again and then third time again, he's questioned of the thought of who made thee to see their eyes were be opened. And his parents again had declined to because of fear of the Jew in verse 22. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. And that challenges me, he is of age, ask him. If someone would ask you and I, are you of age to talk of Jesus? The words that you would speak, would they be writing on my heart? If we met a sinner who has never accepted the Lord, living in sin, and they begin to ask us questions on it regarding their salvation and hope whereby that which we have, are we of age? What age would it be? You know, it can be a young person. It can be an old person. Elderly person, I should say, respectfully. It doesn't matter. But that challenge is to each and every one of us, really. He is of age. She is of age to each one of us. And again, called they the man in verse 24 was blind and said unto him, God, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. What sorrow for mistakenly that they said. Give God the praise if they would have stopped there. What a blessing it would have been to this man who was blind. Give God the praise. How wonderful it would have been if they would have just stopped there. But no, because of the rejection of what had happened to him regarding to this Jesus that he mentioned earlier. But we know that this man is a sinner. That's where those words were a lie. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. Well, that's true. Because the fact that he was blind and he did not really know the man who made the clay, who spit on the ground and told him to go wash. He didn't really know him. And he said to him, they made the clay. He said, I know not. But one thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. The sure situation that he could truly tell you and I, could tell his neighbors, tell his friends, tell mother and daddy, tell everybody he met. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, but now I see. And that's true with each one of us as we go through the Christian walk of life. Oh, how does not what we see in a spiritual sense of how much Christ really means to us as we would serve him. And then we find as it, later on that chapter there in verse 37, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. When he had found him, he said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." Those words, I truly believe, at that moment of time, would be an inspiration like they were written in his heart. "Thou that hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." His eyes were beholding not only the words of identification to who he was, but those words, I'm sure, rang within his heart. And he said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Those worship, that worship which he did, truly, sincerely, I believe, was the most sincere worship that he could have possibly done. And so therefore he said unto him, Jesus said, "For judgment I am coming to the world, that they which see might not see, might see, and that they which see might be made blind." Some of the Pharisees, when they had, some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, said unto him, "Are we blind also?" Not only blind were they, but they sure didn't have Jesus written in their hearts, the words of him. That song which we mentioned a bit ago, "Tell Me the Story of Jesus," was written by Fanny Crosby. And no wonder she could write something, "Tell me the story of Jesus, write the words, write all in my heart, every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest ever was heard." She didn't see it either. She was blind. But yet for that sake, she could go alone. When we turn to the scripture again, we think of the word, "Write it on my heart." We go back to Genesis, the chapter 1 and verse 25. God said, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness." Let us make man. Us refers to the God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I believe as those words is written unto us, it reminds me very distinctively the period of time that Jesus was from the very beginning, as the Father was also. He is not born as with Mary and Joseph was the beginning of his time. Yes, upon earth it was. But it was a time whereby that he was with the Father from the very, very beginning. If we write also concerning the words that write them on my heart, we turn to Isaiah 6 chapter and verse 6, 9th chapter and verse 6, for unto us a child is born, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of the Word, of Peace. These words are valuable, important, distinctively identification unto him. For he shall be born of a child, prophesying the very words that's going to take place sometime in the future, and it would come to pass. We also have in Isaiah the 53rd chapter tells us of how there that how he would be suffered. He would be bruised, and esteemed him not. He was smitten and stricken and such. Those words are written in the hearts of each one of us because we know that's what he endured for you and for me. That's what he endured for each one of us. And so therefore we find that these words are really valuable to us and understandable unto us, that we ought to understand them in such a way that we would never forget what he did for you and for me. Matthew's Gospel, the first chapter, 18 through 23, we find they're dealing with Joseph and Mary. And Joseph was going to take Mary, his wife, and though she was expecting to be of a child. But the angel said, "Fear not, Joseph, that he was to take her, Mary, his wife, for that which conceived within her is of the Holy Ghost. And he shall save his people from their sins." The importance of Joseph to take Mary, his wife, the fact that although the circumstances would bring hardship to them because of the condition that she was in, but yet we would find that those words to Joseph was to fear not, to take her that as your wife. And as she did so, and that he would be save his people from their sins. There was a purpose for this, why they should do it. There was a purpose why the angel spoke unto Joseph. There was a purpose whereby that was needful for he to follow the angels, the word from God through the angel, that he was to be obedient and do so. Those words also would strike unto us. Fear not to take on the salvation, Jesus Christ, because he is the Savior of the world, would be a challenge to each one of us as well, if we were to change and look at it that way. Matthew 2 and verses 1 through 12, we see the wise men. As they were there in taking note of the fact of how they saw the star and was going to go and worship him. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Judea, days of Herod the king. And there was Herod the king, verse 3. And the chief priests and the scribes and people together and demanded of them of Christ when he would be born, in verse 5. And they said, Bethlehem in Judea. And we find as they go down, and Herod said, go and worship him. Then bring me word and tell me that I too could come and worship him. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, in verse 8, go and search diligently for the young child. When ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him. When they had heard the kings, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. But they followed the star. God led them to the place where the child was by the shining of the star. And when they came unto Mary, Joseph, and the babe, they came and worshiped him, presented him gifts unto him. And we find that I believe that these words, as they told their experience of how God had led them by the star to the child and how wonderful it truly was. But then we see the word right upon the hearts of each one of us, how that God knew the sovereignty of the real hatred that Herod had towards this child. He told them to depart and go back in another way. Then we find also the shepherds, when they were out taking care of the sheep, and when they were doing so, the angels, the multitude of heavenly hosts came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them. And what happened there? When they departed and left, they said, let's go and see what this is, miracle, this words that was been given unto us. And they came also and worshiped him. We find that those shepherds was eager to go after the angels had told them the words of the birth. And that is true with the fact with each one of us. We too ought to be very eager as we hear the word proclaimed unto us, perhaps by angels, perhaps by the Spirit of God, or perhaps the Holy Word as God would speak unto us. We ought to be eager to go and to do what would be pleasing unto him. We also think of the thought of the factor of how that this man that was born blind, how that whereby that he was obedient, and so should you and I. We've looked in Luke's Gospel, the 17th chapter, 11 through 19. We find 10 leopards to whom that came, and Jesus told them to go. And as they went, they heard the word of Jesus to tell them to go and wash. They went, and while they were going, they were cleansed. But only one, when they seen it was cleansed, returned to thank the Lord. I believe that cleansing, that one particularly the one, now I'm sure the other 9 appreciated being cleansed of leprosy, because they knew the horror that whereby that they were in. They knew that they had to cry out when people got near them, unclean and unclean with leprosy, so that nobody would get close to them. But as they went to go their way, as Jesus told them to go, and as they went, they were cleansed and made whole. But we find that one really recognizes his healing and returns to thank the Lord. Those words meant a lot to Jesus. He said, where are the 9? Were not 10 that was cleansed? And I think to write the words on the heart, tell me the story of Jesus. I believe that one individual, when he returned to Jesus and told him of what he was a cleanser of, and how grateful and thankful that he no longer cried out, unclean and unclean, but he could go to the nearest and the closest and the best of friends that he could have with not a bit of shame, without any fear of being rejected and tested out. Why? Because Jesus spoke to them. But I'm also made to think of the thought of hearing the words of Jesus. I'm made to think of the time when he was in the ship, or the disciples, was in the water, and they were in the ship, and the storm comes up, and they became fearful of their lives. And they also, we find again that the time that went by, they did, and Jesus had sent them ahead. And he comes walking upon the water towards them. And as he came walking towards them in the water, they supposing that he was a spirit, and they cried out, fearing there to be fear. But Jesus said, "It is I, be not afraid." Those words, I believe, as Jesus spoke unto them, those disciples, the fear within ceased from then on at that point. Those words were valuable words. When he said, "It is I, be not afraid," what else would they need to have any assurance? Then we see Peter, as he decides, speaks to the Lord. He said, "Lord, bid me to come out of the water, out of the boat, and walk on the water." And he says, "Come." Again, the precious words on Peter's heart. "Come." And he gets out of the boat, begins to walk on the water. And I believe that experience, if I was to ask Peter, and he would talk to us and tell us, oh, what a wonderful experience that was, walking on the water. Well, we saw our Lord and our Savior, Jesus, and we saw him walking in the water. What a wonderful thing that I did that he was doing. But you see, Satan, or the Lord, allowed the boisterous winds and the waves to come into the eyes of Peter, and he became fearful, began to sink. And I believe those words are given unto us, we too, as a challenge of whereby that in which we need to be very careful what we look about, in case we have to cry out, "Lord, save me. Lord, help me." And Jesus reached forth his hand and turned him by the hand and helped him out as he was sinking. It's a challenge to each one of us. Those precious words is given to us. The Lord, save me. When we think of two as an example in John's first chapter, when John the Baptist saw Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God." What an experience that would have been to hear it said. What an experience it would have been to hear John speak that to Jesus. What an experience it would have been to be walking there and looking forward, or looking to the place, and Jesus appears before them. What a blessed experience it was. Those words, "Behold the Lamb of God," should be written in the hearts of each and every one of us. Because truly that's what Jesus is to us. He is our Lamb, the Lamb of God. And then we also think of the thought of how that the wise men, they find Jesus, the shepherds, they too, the children at the temple. When Jesus was in Luke, the second chapter, and he's at 12 years of age in the temple there. And we find that there in that time of there that Jesus and Mary and Joseph goes to return back to their hometown, and they're gone 3 days, and they discover Jesus not with them. They turn back in fear that he's lost. They seek him for what he is. When they find him in the temple with the doctors and the lawyers, both hearing and answering their questions. Oh, what knowledge and understanding Jesus had. They were amazed at him because of the fact of the words that where he could speak, that he understood, but they did not understand truly that he was God, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, our Savior. So therefore, we find that when they find him, said unto him, said, thy father and thy mother, we sought for thee. He says, what? Like, why? Must I not be at my father's business? He must be doing those things. So is those words as a challenge to you and I? Are we too not to be at our father's business as we go through life? Yes, we have jobs. Yes, we have things to do. And then even though when we're retired, we still have things to do. So yes, we need to be at our father's business too. Whatever it may be, that he would lead us thereforth unto. But Jesus uttered words of importance. When he was being tempted after 40 days, Satan appears unto him, tries him three times to get him to fall down and worship him. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Thou savest the thing of man and not of God. He gave unto him scripture on each of the trying that the Satan tried him with. And I believe as Jesus was victorious over the devil and temptation, so are we as well unto us as we go through this life as well. What a wonderful blessing it is to know and to understand that the words that was spoken tell me the story of Jesus. Write them every word of my heart. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they walked from his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace, good tidings on earth. Those good tidings on earth is the same as important to them as it is to you and I today. And as we go through life, as we try to go through trial, we know and understand that Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, he was victorious over the devil. The words that he spoke in teaching, the disciples walked with him, talked with him. They knew him when he told them that Jesus told them that he was going to be crucified. He was going to die, and after 3 days, he would rise again. We find that those words was written in the hearts of the disciples to an extent that it brought a lot of hurt and pain. They thought this couldn't happen be. When you see the two men that was walking from Emmaus, when they were walking, Jesus walked with them and he talked with them. And the words that Jesus spoke to them, want to know what the communication they had one with another. And as they communicated, he said, we thought he would set his kingdom up. Have you not heard how they crucified him, what they'd done with him? And Jesus said, what things? And then they told him that. And finally, when their eyes, when they got to the house and they were going to go as he was, act as though he wasn't going in with, and they bid him to come in. And as they came in and he opened up and blessed the bread and their eyes were open to food. When their eyes were open, oh, the joy. Oh, the joy they heard when their eyes were open. Those words that he spoke to them and expounded unto them from Moses and the prophets and such as he gave unto them as they walked and talked was revealed to them. The scripture tells us at the same hour they returned to Jerusalem, turned around and went back, probably all night long, walking hastily back, saying, he's alive, he's alive. What a wonderful words they are to know that Jesus is alive, and you can say that from the depth of your heart, that he's alive. When Mary Magdalene and those that went to the sepulcher, looking for him, the stone was rolled away. They told him he was alive. And when they did so, oh, how it was. Thomas, who decided that he would not believe, doubting Thomas. We're pretty hard on him sometimes because he doubted he wouldn't believe it, that Jesus was alive. But when the doors were being shut, when the disciples had already told him that he was alive, he appeared unto us in closed doors in us and showed and spoke unto us. Those words seemed like, I would say, idle tales. They weren't really written with joy and happiness as Thomas should have been, happy that he was alive to hear about it. But what happened was, when again in 8 days, when the doors were being shut and they were assembled together, And Jesus appeared. He said, Thomas, reach hither thy hand. Reach hither thy finger and put in the hand and thrust into my side. Be not faithless, but believing. Write those words in your heart. And when he seen him, knew and understood, he said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Those words should be written in our hearts too. We have not seen Jesus physically, spiritually, through the Holy Spirit and the nature of which it would be. What a wonderful words it is. My gracious Redeemer I love, his praises I loud proclaim, and join with the armies above to shout his adorable name. My Jesus I love, I know he loves me, and in that sweet home above, with him I'll ever be. Someday, I'm not sure how it will be, if we'll be able to write or say the words and tell others when we get to heaven, what a gracious and wonderful experience that we had in serving the Lord. When he became our Lord and our Savior, those words is in our hearts today. But perhaps, I don't know if we're going to be able to remember the joy in that, because the Bible tells us all things will be new. The formal things will be all passed away. I believe things will be so different, so wonderful in heaven, that those words, I don't know if we remember how those things will take place, but I know that when we're there, it's going to be different, and what a wonderful blessing it will be. Who's going to have closing prayer? Brother Nathan, you want to come up, please? Thank you, and may the Lord bless you.
And as I listen to the title of tonight's lesson, or tonight's sermon, it's kind of somebody asking us to do something. It says, tell me the story of Jesus. And I had to think, you know, if somebody asked me, what story do I have to tell about Jesus? Can I respond with hope, love, mercy, grace, and forgiveness? Do I have that story to tell them? And I thought of another song then, too, as I thought about that. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. I was challenged, you know, to have that story to be able to really tell others who Jesus is. It has to come from the heart. It has to be deep down inside. And I was challenged with that, you know, to really know, remember what Jesus did for me and have that story right within my heart that I can tell those about it. Because I think sometimes the world's asking us to tell them the story of Jesus. And I think many times we miss the opportunities because they don't specifically say, tell me about Jesus, but they start... They'll ask little questions and stuff, and really what they're looking for inside is for us to tell them the story of Jesus. Tell him what he's done within our hearts, the things that we struggled with. He's changed. He's using us. So just a few thoughts that I had. Let's stand for closing prayer.